Amen, Josh. Amen, Mindy. God bless you. Well, I hate it when I write down the wrong reference. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Do that, if you will. Isaiah chapter 1. I told Brother Bachman, I said, you ever do that? He nodded his head yes. That made me feel a little bit better. Not much, but a little bit. And I prepared these messages. This is no excuse, but we spent 33 hours flying the other day. Not all flying, mostly sitting in airports, as I was preaching up in Henderson, North Carolina, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. By the way, Brother Butler did a fantastic job preaching in my stead on Wednesday night. If you've not yet heard the message, you ought to listen to it. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that he taught and preached. But I told the story this morning. It was amazing. We went, I was preaching for a dear brother up in Henderson, North Carolina. We went over to Raleigh to get on the airplane. Everything was fine until we hit Baltimore City. And then they canceled all the flights coming into Dallas. And so we went from Baltimore to Louisville, Kentucky, from Louisville, Kentucky to Denver, Colorado, from Denver, Colorado to Houston, Texas, from Houston, Texas, down to Dallas. We took the long way around. But it was an interesting trip. So please forgive me a little bit for that mistake tonight. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, if you will. Isaiah chapter 1. Yes, there is a book in the Bible that's called Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want to speak tonight, as I announced a few moments ago, on what we gain through Christ. What we gain through Christ. And I want you to think about this tonight. We can be very thankful that we have received Christ as Savior. There's many things that you can be thankful for. If it was not for Christ, you and I would never be able to go to heaven. If it was not for Christ, you and I would never have someone, if you would please, that we go through to get to the Father when it comes to praying and getting prayers answered. If it wasn't for Christ, you and I would not have the blessedness of bearing a spouse that is as devout as a spouse would be. If it wasn't for Christ, we would never have the privilege to teach our children godly biblical principles to live by and to be able to serve Christ through. If it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't have the fellowship tonight that we have. Many good people attending Parkside Baptist Church. We love seeing each other in the hallway. We love fellowshipping together. We love being able to spend time with each other. We love being able to go out soul winning together and work bus routes together, teach Sunday school classes together, sing in choirs and special groups together, the times of fellowship that you'll enjoy after the service tonight. All that's all because of Christ. If it wasn't because of Christ, if it wasn't for Christ, you and I would not know how to be able to operate in a world of finances, to be able to receive the financial blessings that God Himself bestows upon His children who are obedient to Him. If it wasn't for Christ, you and I would have a home that would be all mixed up and messed up and no doubt sinned up. But because of Christ, you and I can be able to have a wholesome lifestyle with our spouses and with our children, all because of Christ. And because of Christ, we can be able to enjoy each other's fellowship together. Now, I'm not talking about just a time of laughter, but sometimes there's sweet fellowship as we encourage each other because of the death of a loved one. We encourage each other because of that which is a tragedy that we once went through or are presently going through. And it's all because of Christ that we have the ability to be able to do that, to be able to sit down at the kitchen table or the dining room area and be able to enjoy a good meal. And it's because of Christ that we're able to do that. And so because of Christ, there's many things we can be thankful for. But I want to speak to you this evening now on what we gain through Christ. Let me give you some statements, okay? Through Christ, we gain strength to break evil habits. Through Christ, we gain strength to break evil habits. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says this, says, wash you, make you clean. Now listen to it now. Put away, it says, the evil of your doings, it says, from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Now notice the next four words in the next verse, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17, it says, learn to do well. All right, so here's what God says. God says, when it comes to evil, cease it. Now that means quit it. That means stop it. That means bring an abrupt halt to it. When you find out that you're doing evil in your life, God expects you to recognize it, and he expects you to stop it immediately. But then he says this, there's the process of learning. As our children did when they were coming up, just as little bitty kids, we watched them as they learned to crawl. We watched them as they learned to sit up. We watch them as they learn to stand up. We watch them as they learn to walk. Now we have 6 grandchildren. We're watching the process all over again. But did you know our children that are grown children, we don't have to watch them anymore crawling. It's not natural for them. They walk. They run. We don't have to watch them learn how to stand. They pass that test. We don't have to watch them to learn how to sit up. They pass the test. Did you know that as they've grown over the years, they've learned to stand on their own, walk on their own. They've learned to be able to operate on their own. And can I tell you, that's exactly what God wants us to do. When it comes to being able to operate in believing him and trusting him, even in overcoming sinful habits, there is a way that you can overcome your sinful habits. There is a way to be able to walk with God, and God help you every step of the way to be able to overcome these things that have a grip in your life. Whether it's that besetting sin or something else, God can help you. You say, well, preacher, nobody knows about it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they do. God knows about it. And because God knows about it, God cares about you. He's numbered every hair on a person's head. He cares about you. He watches every sparrow, according to the book of Matthew, that falls to the ground. He cares about you. When you have a troubled heart, my dear friend, he wants to be able to help you. If you have sinful habits, God wants to be able to help you to overcome those sinful habits. Oh, it might be smoking. It might be drinking. It might be looking at pornography. It might be having some type of illicit relationship. It might be, if you would please, stealing or gambling or cheating on your taxes, or it might be something else, and that you have a habit of running red lights, or you have a habit of running people off the side of the road because you have road rage. It might be a habit of you not doing something that you should do, or that you're doing something that you should not do. Might be the sins of omission. It might be the sins of commission. But we understand this, that no matter what it is in your life that God calls evil, can I tell you, God is greater than he that is in the world. God can help you with every single problem that you've got in your life. Why? Because he is God and he is your Father and he cares about you. So I said, statement number one, that through Christ we can gain the strength to break evil habits. Statement number two, through Christ, now I'm talking about that we can gain the strength to walk righteously. To walk righteously through Christ. You can't do that by yourself. You go ahead as a believer, and you try to walk in the flesh and try to obey God without walking with God, without allowing the Word of God to abide in you as you abide in Him. You try to do that. Now, neighbor, here's what's going to happen. You're going to fail. The Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. And so every single time you try to make it by yourself, you're going to fail. Now, thank God for Christian friends. Thank God for people that love you. Thank God for people that encourage you. Thank God this morning as we baptized those 2 young men that received Christ several months ago as I was out door knocking, and they received Christ as Savior. There's people that came from another state, even another country. They came over just to watch these boys get baptized. Oh, what a wonderful blessing that was. But it took them time to be able to orchestrate all that so that relatives could fly in and watch them on the day that they were to get baptized. Now, wait a minute, though. They had to desire to do that, but without Christ, that would have been impossible to do. I'm saying that through Christ, we can walk righteously. Listen to your scriptures over in Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He says this. He said, every mode that you're doing, you can be blessed in doing that. But you cannot do that all by yourself. Listen to verse 2. The Bible says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The Lord needs to be the one that helps you. whether you're walking, whether you're standing, whether you're sitting, here's what we do. We get excited about serving God in the mode. We get excited about going soul winning when there's, hundreds of other people. It's going out soul winning. And we get excited about working a bus route when there's 15 other people working on the bus route. But there may come a day when you don't have all those people around you lifting up your hands. There may come a day when you've got to learn to stand on your own. You've got to learn to sit on your own. You've got to learn to be able to walk all by yourself. But you are never completely alone because Christ is there with you. He can help you to be able to walk the life of righteousness because he can help you every single step of the way. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. He's concentrating. He's thinking about it. We talked about the goodness of God and how we ought to do that. Here it says day and night. You ought to concentrate on all the good things that God has done for you. By the way, that'll help you to smile on a rainy day. That'll help you to smile on a cold day in Texas or on a hot summer day in Texas. You can be able to serve God and you can be able to have him work in your life as you decide as an individual that through Christ we can gain that which is breaking an evil habit. Through Christ we can be able to understand we can gain the strength of living righteously. Statement number three, through Christ we can gain the strength to resist temptation. Resist temptation. Watch this verse or listen to it. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says this. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. So by the blood of the Lamb. He says, and by the word of their testimony. These are saved people. The Bible says, and they loved not their lives unto death. So they didn't love themselves. So like the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I die daily. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians that he'll make escape. When there comes those times of temptation, he will make an escape for you. Now, the easiest way to be able to overcome a temptation is to stay away from it. Stay away from it. You don't go down to the bar to drink milk. You stay away from it. You have problems with the different things that's coming up on your laptop, things that you should not see. You have problems with things coming up on your phone, things that you should not see. Now, you've got to be able to put a barrier between you and those things. Because if you do not put a barrier between you and those things, I remember we had our men's meeting. I taught our men on the dangers of pornography and how to be able to overcome such a wicked, wicked temptation. Now, can I tell you, men put those things into place and they're walking in victory today. But there were certain things they had to put in place. You know, when it comes to temptation, you've got to realize where your weakness is. Nobody else will realize it but you. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your husband. You can hide it from your children. You can hide it from your parents. But can I tell you, there's the Lord God you cannot hide it from. And so the best thing you can do when temptations come in your life is to know what it is and decide that you're going to put some barriers in your life that's going to help you, that's going to cushion, whereby now you can be protected yourself. Here's what we understand. We understand that through Christ, he would give us the strength to resist those temptations. Now, I don't know what it is, but to some people, they say, it's no big deal. You know, to some Christians today, it's no big deal to smoke. But God says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. To some people, it's no big deal. Chew tobacco. I'm talking about women. But for some people, no big deal. You know, for some people, it's no big deal if I say a curse word or two or a slang word, a derivative of a curse word. Now, why is it tonight that we make some sins like this and other sins like this? One sin, doesn't matter what it is, one sin separates you from a holy God, from God answering your prayers. God said this, he said that you're not supposed to take that iniquity and look at it and covet it and want it and to be able to adopt it and to embrace it. As long as you hide iniquity in your heart, the Bible says the Lord will not hear you. You say, well, I'll never be perfect. But you can try to do right. You can walk away from temptation. Oh, help me, Doc, if you will. And so he's got this habit. He's got this drinking habit. Drinking habit. I am tempted to drink. Water. He's got a drinking habit of drinking water. But let's say it's not just water. Let's just say it's liquor. You know, let me tell you something about my daddy. My daddy was a boss of about 400 employees, worked at Maryland National Bank. As far as I know, him coming up, he never drank a drop of liquor until one evening he went to a social. One evening. And he said he wanted to be in with the crowd. I mean, after all, he was the head of all these employees. The presidents of these banks were going to be there. So my dad, one evening, took a social drink. That's all it took to spark it. One social drink. Can I tell you that my dad, after taking that one social drink, began to take another, and another, and another, until he became a drunk. And he would come home and he would curse. He'd hit mama. He'd hit us boys. And it became a brutal place to live when daddy was drunk. And it all started with just one little social drink. Don't tell me that sin is just small and it doesn't matter. My brother was a key basketball player. He was top scorer in all of the high schools that was in the Maryland district that he played in. Matter of fact, when he got out of high school, they retired his jersey, put it in one of those glass cages, had pictures of him all over with trophies that he won. He had scholarships to three colleges of his choice, a full ride for basketball. He went to a party. That night, they were passing around dope, and he shot up one time. He got hooked, and it ruined his life. He lost the scholarships. Don't tell me. Please don't tell me, because you see, I lived in that home. Don't tell me that one little sin, well, it's okay. No, you make sure you keep a clean nose. You do it for your sake. You do it for your parents' sake. You do it for your kids' sake. If you got a temptation, the best thing to do is not to hang. Now, that's not saying that he's a bad individual. I can hang around him when he is not doing the temptation that draws me in. And by the way, it would be better to hang around him on safe ground, spiritual ground, than on his ground. It would be far better for me to say, he says, hey, Mike, I want to hang around you. I say, hey, Jack, I want to hang around you. Let's do this. Let's go to church together. And then after church on Sunday night, they're having street tacos. Amen. He says, what is that? I say, I don't know, but it's food. And he says, I like food. And I say, I like food too. Matter of fact, if you come, I'll treat you. Now I've got him on a good turf. Here's where our young people make a tragic, tragic, tragic mistake. Here's what happens. They go over to somebody else's turf. Somebody that's backslidden. Somebody that's not living for God. Somebody that has gone wayward. And what happens is this. When somebody goes wayward, here's the thing. We care about them because they're our friends. They've got a hook in us. We care about them. There's nothing wrong with caring for a friend. But can I tell you, if that friend is doing things that they should not be doing, then you ought to operate with principle over personality. You ought to decide that I'm going to obey the principles of the Word of God. You could say this, look, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but that stuff right there, if I got in the habit like you're in the habit, could really hurt my testimony for Christ. Therefore, let's do this. When we fellowship, let's fellowship at my parents' house, because I want to protect you. I want to protect me. I care about you. I care about Christ. And you put down some barricades. Come on. Oh, I've seen, thank you, Doc. I've seen this. I've seen boys do this with girls. Well, I tell you what, why don't we do this? We're dating now. So since we're dating now, let's just kind of like hold hands. Hello. Boy, it's quiet in the house tonight. Let's do this. Let's just sit in the back of the car and smooch. Come on. You pucker your lips. I pucker my lips. You suck. I suck. See if we can suck the interior of us out. You say, well, that sounds gross. Yeah. Why don't you save yourself? Walk down the aisle one day. First time you ever kissed him. You say, that's old-fashioned. What's wrong with that? Amen. Tell me, what's wrong with that? Used to be a day when that was the end thing. You can always tell, man. You can always tell the first time they ever kiss. You can always tell. She will look at him. He will look at her. And it's like, they get ready for it. You know why? Because they don't know. They've never done that before. So they kind of get ready for it. Then all of a sudden, they begin to walk towards each other. They have no idea what they don't know. What to, you know, they're just wondering, where do I put this? I've seen it on a movie somewhere before, but I've never done it before. So, they're really nervous about it. Well, I'd rather a young person be that way. Hello. Than to have that familiarity. Come on. You know, years ago, there was a preacher said, I had all these people in that had gone out into the depths of sin, and God saved them. And, well, you know, I didn't get saved until I was 18 years of age. I love seeing young people get saved at the age of 5, the age of 6, the age of 7. I love seeing young people grow up in the nursery, go into the primary department, make it through the primary department to the junior age, from the junior age to the junior high, from the junior high to the senior high, to the college, to the college and career, to the young professionals, to the marriage altar, to kid number 1, kid number 2, kid number 3, kid number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Brother Han. I mean, come on. That's a blessing. You realize Brother Han's kids will never be lonely? You realize Brother Han's kids will never have money? Whose birthday is it now? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, there's a time when you have to decide that you're going to receive that which Christ has for you to resist some temptations. And being in good company helps you to resist temptations. Statement number next, I'm almost done, but please listen. Things that we gain through Christ, okay? Through Christ, we gain strength to break evil habits. Through Christ, we gain strength to walk righteously. Through Christ, we gain the strength to resist temptations. Through Christ, we gain strength to overcome difficulties. Difficulties. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, you know it well, don't you? He says, but my God shall supply what? My God shall supply, talk to me, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't say some of your need. He didn't say part of your need. He didn't say a particular matter of your need. He didn't say a piece of your need. He didn't say a portion of your need. He didn't say part of a platter of your need. No, no. He said all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what can I do? When difficulty times come, you can get on Facebook. You know, months ago, I figured this out. People don't call the preacher. I don't know, Brother Patterson, if it's your way and this way in your church or not, but people don't call the preacher and say, you know, I'm getting ready to have surgery. No, they put it on Facebook. Then somebody calls me and says, did you know that on Facebook someone said that they're having surgery today? I say, no, I didn't know that. So then I'll call them up and say, look, I just found out you're having surgery today. I sure do love you. Can I pray with you? Now, wait a minute, stop. I'm saying this. I'm saying that when you have difficulties in your life, you can turn to him. You can turn to him. You know, I find out when all of a sudden I'm talking to somebody on the phone and they're going through a difficult time, or I'm talking to somebody on the phone, they're getting ready to go through surgery, I'm talking to somebody on the phone, and it just seems like that things are kind of cattywampus in their life right now, things are uncertain in their life, immediately I'll say, hey, let's pray together. Let's pray together. You know why? Because when you take it to the one who can make the change, oftentimes he makes the change. But if you never take it to him, then you don't know if he'll ever make the change or not. So the best thing to do, people come to my office all the time for counsel. Yeah, one of the first things we ever do, we sit down at that table. If you've been in my office, you know what we do. First thing we do is say, dear Father, please give us wisdom concerning these matters. Help us to know your heart on it. Help us to follow the biblical principles that we should. Help us to be obedient to you. I don't point them to me. My opinions don't count. His principles do count. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that through Christ we gain strength to be able to break evil habits, to walk righteously, to resist temptation, to overcome difficulty. Statement number next. Think about this. To strengthen the trust when we're tried. God can help you when you're tried. When you go through these times, think about Job, if you will. Job 23 and verse 10, the Bible says, and he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, the Bible says, I shall come forth as gold. Sometimes God will allow you to go through a trial. Why? To make you better, to trust him more. Job 23 and verse 11, the Bible says, my foot had held, it says, listen to it, his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. He said, I've just kept on the path and I've not declined. One thing about going through those airports, I look at my dear wife and I say, okay, honey, look and see what gate it is. And she would look, and then I would look to, and we'd look on there and we'd see what gate it is. We knew where to go. We weren't going to go to another gate and just kind of sit there and say, well, they'll come get us because we're important. That wasn't going to work. We had to be at certain places at certain times in order to be able to make the flight. Can I tell you, that's just like it is in your Christian life? God says, okay, here's what you're supposed to do. You might not like it. You might have to sit beside somebody you don't like. You might not like smelling them. You might not like talking to them. When they get in your face, it smells like garlic that they ate 3 months ago. I mean, you know, and you got all these peculiarities that you don't like about them. But God says, okay, this is your chosen seat. This is where I want you to sit. This is who I want you to be beside. You know, sometimes in the choir, you have an assigned seating. Sometimes in the orchestra, you have an assigned seating. Sometimes, if you would please, in a singing group, you have assigned microphones to use and assigned certain places that you stand. And if you're not careful, you can let stuff get under your skin. Come on. We have a pretty good sized auditorium. That doesn't mean you always have to sit in the same place. You could move around. Sure beats leaving the church. I don't like so-and-so. Well, move. You don't like so-and-so, it sits over here. You can move over here. You can't even see when they smile and when they frown. Hello? You don't like the people on the ground floor, you can go to the upper floor. You don't like the people in the upper floor, you can go to the bathroom. I'll preach to you in there. We got speakers everywhere. Look, I'm saying this, folks. I'm saying, look, sometimes when you go through these trying times in your life, you have to stay on the right path. You just keep your foot on the right path. By the way, here's what I find out. You never make a decision when you're in the emergency emotional attached zone. Because when you do, you'll wind up making an emotional decision, and you come back later most of the time to realize it was too quick of a decision and I shouldn't have made it that way. But then it's too late. I tell people, I've been taking people to the mission field for many, many years, and I've gone to numerous of countries, and I would take, I think the largest group I ever took to the mission field was 22. And had all these people coming to the mission field to help me out with the conference and to go into the schools and preach and the colleges and preach. And we were meeting there at the certain airport, and we were getting ready to disperse. And I assigned who was going to teach where, who was going to preach where, what they were going to do, gave them the lessons they were teaching, etc. Having a huge, huge pastor's conference. And it was an exciting thing. And all of a sudden, some of the young people that was coming from various colleges around America that came on that trip started coming to me. They say, I feel like this is where God wants me to be. I said, no, let's not make a decision based on feeling. Let's not do that. The same God that calls a person to a field is the same God that doesn't change his calling. So let's do this. Let's get away from the emotional stimuli. Let's do this. And you go home, and you fast, and you pray, and you ask God, and simmer down and let God speak to you. Jesus lifted up his eyes, looked on the multitude, and he was moved with compassion. You can't help but love people that's hurting. If you have the heart of God, you can't help but resemble that which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But just because you are moved because somebody else is having a struggle doesn't mean that that is a calling of God on your life. Now, I say this. Here's what we see. Strength, if you would please, to trust him when tried. Lastly, let me give you this, and I'm done. I'm saying that here's what he'll do. Through Christ, we gain, if you will, the strength to break evil habits, to walk righteously, to resist temptation, to overcome difficulties, to trust when tried. And then we see this, to help others. Strength to help others. You know, sometimes it's a wearisome thing to spend your life just helping, listening to problems, and helping, and going out, and chasing, and loving, and giving, but it is also one of the most rewarding things you could ever do in your life, to help others. To be able to see somebody that grows up in Christ, to be able to witness the good grace of God operating in their life and helping them every step of the way, just helping others. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, I lifted up my eyes again. Means he lifted them up before. And looked, and behold, a man, it says, with a measuring line in his hand. He knew where to look to get encouragement. Psalm 121 verse 1, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Verse 2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Can I say this tonight, my dear beloved friend? When we're helping others, we need God's help. We've had families that's gone through difficult times over the years I've been your pastor. Oftentimes, I've gone to my office, and I've got on my knees, and I've cried. And I said, dear Lord, I need your wisdom to help them. I don't know what to tell them, but you know what they need. Help me, please. These are one of your kids. I need your help. There have been times I've walked behind the buses out there. I call it the South 40. And I walk behind the buses, and I'd be praying for a bus kid. Yes, they need prayer, too. I'd be praying for a bus family. I'd be praying for a bus worker. You know, sometimes throughout the week, I preach to you on Sunday and on Wednesday, and I walk beside you, but I know you. I know you. Because I know you, I can see when your countenance is down. I can see when your face changes. Now, I've gotten to know you. You smile all the time, and all of a sudden your smile disappears. You don't have a preacher, you have a pastor. There's a big difference. Now, I get concerned when I hear things. And I'll ask you in the hallway, how you doing? You all right? Everything good? Now, why do I do that? Because I care. I'll ask about your kiddos. You say, why do you do that? Well, if you pray for them, you remember them. Even though they might not be here. They might be someplace else, on a foreign field somewhere. Moved to a different state because of a job. I don't forget them. I pray for them. Now, because of that, can I tell you, here's what happens. Your heart gets connected. Your heart gets, now oftentimes I'll sit beside whoever's sitting beside me over here at their time of sitting where Brother Bachman is sitting, and I'll take out my Bible, and you think I'm taking notes. I'm not taking notes. You think, boy, he's a late preparer. I'm not a late preparer. Sometimes if I read the wrong scripture, I'm illy prepared. But here's what I'll do. I'll write down names of people right there on that piece of paper. I'll write them down. I didn't see them tonight. And I'll write them down. I'll write down their names. They're not in their place. And I'm not a nosy preacher, but I will do this. I'll ask a relative that's attending here, hey, I miss so-and-so. Are they okay? And they'll say, well, yeah, they're working. They're all right. Maybe I'll ask a Sunday school teacher, have you been checking on them? Are they okay? And they'll say, well, yeah, they're okay on a business venture. Maybe sometimes I'll check my text messages late at night, and sometime during the course of a Sunday, that person would text me, sorry I couldn't be in church. I had to be out of town on a business trip. I'll check on them. When people come and they're off their business venture, I'll see them in the hallway. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you, sis. How are you? How was your trip? Isn't that the way church is supposed to be? I think we're supposed to care for each other. I think we're supposed to love each other. And by the way, no matter how big the church gets, that will never discontinue. Remember Dr. Robertson. When Dr. Robertson resigned, he was running about 9,000. But if you knew Dr. Robertson, you never knew somebody like a Dr. Robertson that did not care. He'd always stand down in the front of the pulpit after he'd get done preaching, and people would come up. Most of the time, he would counsel people on the front row because there were so many people that wanted his counsel that he really didn't have time for even them to come back to the office. He'd just counsel them on the front row. He'd sit down and talk a little bit. Sit down and talk a little bit. He'd pray with them, give them good advice. Just what they needed, and they go on their way. He showed that he cared. Amen. He had a good staff. They showed that they cared. One thing I'll say, and I'm done. I've had many preacher graces this pulpit, some well-known, some not, but in God's eyes, all precious saints that love people. And every preacher that's ever graced this pulpit has always said this, you have such a caring church. You know why? Because you care for others that's next to you. You care for others around you. I don't think we ought to ever, Brother Kenny, get to a point and a place in our church where it's about me talking about you. It should always be about him and about everybody else. Was out door knocking yesterday. I had Brother Yao as my partner and led several people to Christ yesterday, and I thank the Lord for it. And but one of them that was, he was with me when this particular, we knocked on the door, and I was doing a follow-up because I was running short of time. And so I always put several hours in following people up on Saturday after soul winning. And so I normally spend the entire day out, then I head home in the evening time. And I was doing some follow-up work, and I knocked on the door. And the lady that, Mrs. Bontegal is one of her nurses that attends the church here. And Mrs. Bontegal witnessed to this lady, and she was in the hospital. Had a heart attack. She came here last Sunday. What a blessing. So I went by to see her. And she came with her boyfriend. And her boyfriend came in the house. I'd got done witnessing to her just to check her out and make sure she was saved. She was. But he came in the house, and I began to witness to him. And he said, Nope, I don't have that. I need that. I took time to show him how to be saved, and he bowed his heart, and he received Christ as Savior. There were so many interruptions, though. So many interruptions. He had a phone in his pocket. As soon as I was going through the plan of salvation, it started ringing. And I said as gently as I could, turn that off. So he turned it off. You know, and then he had double parked outside. I saw the lady. I wasn't done. So a lady went out there, and she got in the car. She's trying to back up, couldn't back up. He's double parked behind her, you know. So I said, I changed her position. I said, I didn't want him looking out the window. I changed her position. And I said, hey, look at this verse right here. Gave me time. She wasn't going to go anywhere. She couldn't. Didn't know where he was. He's with me. And I wasn't about to let him loose. Not just yet, anyway. And so went through the plan of salvation, and he bowed his heart. He received Christ as Savior. And after that, I said, I rejoice with you. God bless you. Now you need to go move your car. That lady's been sitting out there some time. He said, I didn't know that. I said, you weren't supposed to. But go move your car. And so he went out, moved the car. She thanked him. Didn't curse him out or nothing. She was just thankful she could escape. He came back inside. He said, you know what? He said, that is the best thing that anybody has ever showed me. Amen. Now, my friend, getting saved that way. Amen. Let God use you. There are many things that you can do through Christ that you'd never be able to do apart from Jesus Christ.